Okay, welcome back. Thanksgiving 2021 is Thursday, the 25th of November for our Thanksgiving special. I want to thank Roger Kimball for changing his day around to join us. He's the author of a great book, The Long March Through the Institutions, also one of the top public intellectuals in our country. By the way, you mentioned the original, the pilgrims and folks at Jamestown came for the original Thanksgiving.
Yep.
We're going to have Patrick K. O'Donnell here a little later talk about Lincoln, Gettysburg, and the proclamation. You know, one thing that the people talk about genocide, they don't realize or they never admit the sophistication, like the Huron Confederacy, the sophistication of these of some of the Native American tribes as far as foreign policy goes, warcraft, all of that. I mean, they were an ally of the French, and some were allies of the British, but they were equal allies in many regards in highly sophisticated ways of warfare, of statecraft. And the economy as they knew it. But what is it, Roger, this book you wrote was about how they're trying to attack this kind of cultural Marxists, our basic institutions, and flip them. It looks like they've done that to the universities, and it looks like they've done that to the study of history. What say you?
Big time. Well, you know, the phrase, the long march, a lot of people associate it with Mao Zedong, but in the context of my book, It's really the Italian Marxist Antonio Gramsci. His idea was that really to take over, to make the Marxist revolution a success, you had to take over the cultural institution. It was a long march through the institutions. You didn't attack them from outside. You got to them on the inside and perverted them. And that's what has happened. You mentioned the education. Well, certainly, the universities, with a tiny handful of exceptions, are gone. They have nothing to do with perpetuating and transmitting the highest values of our civilization. They are now essentially laboratories to destroy our civilization, to hollow it out from inside. The idea that somehow the past of Western civilization is one long litany of exploitation and oppression is something that could occur to somebody who was fueled almost exclusively by hatred, abetted by ignorance. So it certainly has happened to higher education. It has now happened on secondary and primary education too, where students know more and more about Marxist theory or transgenderism, but very little about the fundamentals of their own heritage. And I'm afraid that it's also happened to many of our government institutions. You see them hollowed out and perverted from within. You've talked a lot on this show about the deep state, the administrative state. These are not abstractions. These are institutions whose fundamental purpose has been turned on its head. And we see it, you know, again and again and again. Fortunately, you were mentioning a few moments ago that people do fight back when things go too far. And I believe we're seeing that right now. We saw it in Virginia with the election of Glenn Youngkin. And we see it throughout the country. America's parents are taking back their local school boards, for example. That may seem like a small thing, but it's not. They're taking back their school board, which means they're taking back their schools from an insidious left-wing assault on the fundamental values of this country. And you see it also in initiatives like the 1776 project that President Trump inaugurated shortly before leaving office. And that's been perpetuated. We at Encounter Books have published the report that was issued on the basis of that committee. I'm happy to say that it's selling very well. A lot of schools are using it to introduce their students to what the actual texture and principles of the American founding are all about. It's not something you will hear from the teachers' unions. It is certainly not something you're going to hear from the people who are running the school boards, but it is something you can hear if you have the wit and the patience to look a little bit behind the mainstream news, behind the CNNs and the NPRs and the New York Times, behind all of those mouthpieces for the regime, there are a growing chorus of voices that are attempting to tell the truth about this country and about the principles that made it, let's face it, it is the cynosure of the world and has been for decades and decades.
By the way, so we had Dr. Carol Swain on from the 1776 yeah. Project to start the show, and we want to make sure everybody gets access to that book of Encounter Books. When Roger Kimball says we're in 1857, people pay attention. You're not somebody that runs around with their hair on fire. What do you mean? Explain to our audience. What do you mean you think we're in 1857?
Well, the 1850s was a very Tabasco decade in American history. The country was divided as it probably had never been to that point. There was a real chance of secession. There was incredible dissension, hatred. I think that we are at a moment now, although there's no one single issue as there was in the 1850s. That issue was slavery. But it's a kind of slavery. It's a slavery to an ideology. That is to say, there is one part of the population that wants to reduce the American investment in individual liberty to a sort of collectivist group identity. And that the insistence with which these people are ramming that ideology down the throats of the people is pushing us more and more, I think, to what you might call a pre-revolutionary situation. That's why, I mean, I was astonished to read the memorandum of the Attorney General of the United States in October, instructing the FBI and all the other coercive powers of the state to mobilize to investigate parents who he described as domestic terrorists. Why? Because they had the temerity to go to their local school boards and complain about the insinuation of critical race theory, which is to say Marxism, you know, very lightly done over and injected with a toxic dose of advanced sexual politics. They were objecting to the insinuation of this into the curricula of their schools, as they should. But the Attorney General of the United States calling on the FBI to actually investigate people who went to their local school boards to complain about this stuff. I found that one of the most extraordinary things of the last couple of years. I mean, there have been a lot of extraordinary things, a lot of things to be upset about. But that the chief law enforcement officer of this country should be willing to use the police power of the state to harass and intimidate ordinary people in that way is absolutely, it's on the one hand terrifying, and on the other side, it's something that I think will galvanize the people to stand up and push back, because it doesn't matter how many dawn raids they conduct with battering rams, you know, going into the home of James O'Keefe, for example, the person who started Project Veritas, tossing him out into his hallway in his underwear and in handcuffs in order to ransack his residence to look for the diary of the daughter of the president of the United States. Why? Not because it was a national secret, but because it might be embarrassing to the president. I mean, that's just not on.
Roger, later today, when you're the at the table, leading your family in prayer, what is it most that you're showing gratitude for, that you're grateful for?
Well, I am extremely grateful to have been born in the United States when I was born. I mean, in the lottery of life, you know, that's you've already you know, picked a winning hand. How great is it to be, you know, to be born in America in the 20th century. You just, you know, all you have to do is look back over the centuries. And, you know, we are so prosperous. We are so fortunate. You know, everything from medicine to communications to, you know, it just, we are at the kind of the tip of history in many ways. That brings with it its own challenges, to be sure. But I am deeply grateful for that, and I'm deeply grateful for the friends who will be and my family joining me around the table. I'm grateful that you know, we can presumably do it unharassed. But I would not be telling the truth if I didn't say that I was worried about the state of the country. My own feeling at the moment is one of gratitude intermixed with a certain element of anxiety about what the future will bring. I don't know. I hope for the best, but I plan for the worst.
How do people follow you on how they follow you on social media? How they get to New Criterion? How they get to Encounter Books?
Right. Well, the New Criterion is pretty simple. It's newcriterion.com. Encounter Books is encounterbooks.com. I gave up on Facebook a while ago. I still use Twitter, and it's just at Roger Kimball. I also have a Parlay account, which is also, you know, at Roger Kimball. So,
Roger, thank you very much for taking time, Steve, away from your Thanksgiving to join us.
Thank you, sir. Have a good Thanksgiving. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Roger Kimball, one of our top public intellectuals. I want to bring in now someone that always is our wingman during these holidays, always our Christmas special and 4th of July, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, top combat historian, Patrick K. O'Donnell. Patrick, before we get a couple minutes here, we're going to get into, you're going to walk us through Washington's Thanksgiving, when he asked for his proclamation, when he asked for God's blessing, Lincoln's. We're going to talk all about that. We got a couple minutes. When a guy like Roger Kimball, and I understand you don't get involved in the politics of it, you're a historian, but when a guy like Roger Kimball says we're in 1857, for a historian like Patrick K. O'Donnell, what does that mean?
Well, I think he's got a lot. There's a lot of truth to it, Steve. You know, history is about, you know, studying the past, and in some ways to have a feel for what may happen in the future, or to get an idea of it. And, you know, studying our past is important. And I think that Roger made some excellent points. America has been divided before, deeply divided. In fact, that's kind of the jumping off point in one way of one of our first Thanksgiving that really not many people have heard of. And that was on May 17th, 1776, Steve. And Congress 2 days earlier asked Americans who were deeply divided in America at that time. There was a civil war raging during the Revolution. And they asked Americans for a day of prayer and Thanksgiving. And they did that. And on May 17th, their prayers they came true. And what I mean by that is, we were deeply short of gunpowder during the American Revolution. And this is one aspect of the indispensables we've never really talked about. And the origins of the U.S. Navy are pretty humble during the American Revolution. It begins with a single rowboat, Steve, a fishing boat that John Glover repurposed and converted into a vessel of war that went after British transports. The Continental Army had hardly any powder. And it was the British that tried to cut off that source of powder at every turn. It's really what turns the political revolution into a revolution.
Hang on one second. We'll take a short commercial break. We're going to come back with the Civil War that was upon us in May of 1776 and how we worked our way through it. Patrick K. O'Donnell, the great combat historian, joins us.
I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind and the rain.
You have homeowners insurance for a good reason, a very good reason. because without it, a fire, flood, or burglary could destroy you financially. But there's another major crime your homeowner's policy doesn't cover. It's called home title fraud. The FBI calls title fraud one of the fastest growing crimes, and it can ruin you financially, which is why you need Home Title Lock. Title fraud happens when a criminal forges your signature on documents stating you sold your home to him. Then he takes out a loan against your home and leaves you with the payments. You'll spend a fortune in legal fees trying to prove you didn't commit fraud. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect anyone, from a cyber thief to a renter to a relative trying to forge their way into your home's title, they help shut it down. Let me repeat that. They help shut it down. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. And enter radio, R-A-D-I-O, enter radio for 30 days of free protection. That's code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. Let me give you that again. Code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. Get this protection and get it today. Friends, it's about to get ugly out there. Are you prepared for the worst whenever it happens? If you've been watching the show, you know the bad stuff can happen at any moment. Now, what should you do about it? Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get the emergency supplies and food you'll need for what's to come. Being prepared does not mean you're paranoid or fearful. I want to repeat that. Being prepared does not mean you're paranoid or fearful. It means you're smart. You got to get ahead of it. At MyPatriotSupply.com, you'll find emergency survival gear, bug-out camping equipment, water purifiers, cooking and heating products, you name it. Get the essential items you'll need for being self-reliant. Let me repeat that. Get the essential items you'll need for being self-reliant when a disaster strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com has served millions of American families. They have over 46,000 four-star and five-star reviews from customers just like you. Get what you need before it's too late. That means now. Supplies are quickly selling out because of the surge in demand and the logistics problems throughout the country. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today before time runs out. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, MyPatriotSupply.com. Remember, they got the emergency and the survival gear, the bug-out camping gear, the water purifiers, cooking, heating, food, all of it. Every product you need, they've got. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the years. To join hands and thank the Creator.
Okay, the great Johnny Cash. Thanksgiving song. It is Thursday, the 25th of November, the year of our Lord 2021. It's Thanksgiving Day. I want to thank you for making time as you travel around today to make War Room part of your Thanksgiving. We always share these holidays with Patrick K. O'Donnell, tells us what America was doing and how America worked through these different holidays with certain crises, but it's always happened to get through. Patrick, by the way, I want to thank our sponsors, MyPillow.com, promo code War Room. Make sure you go there. The sale's all over the place, particularly as you get ready for tomorrow, Black Friday. Make sure you get your holiday shopping, at least part of it, done at MyPillow.com. Promo code War Room. Sheets, towels, pillows, throw blankets. You've got the gifts for the children, all of it. Just go there. You can spend many, many hours on the site seeing what they've got. Remember, no logistics problems. Pete Buttigieg does not have to help get delivered Mike Lindell's products. You order it, you buy it, you will get it. The book is indispensable. He's got a couple of great books out there about the revolution. But in May, people forget, Patrick, that in 1776, there was a civil war at the same time, internally, at the same time, there was a revolution getting underway with our mother country. Tell us, at May 7, 1776, how did we work through that one?
And we also had a pandemic that was raging. There was a smallpox pandemic that hit North America at the time and divided us politically as well. And it was devastating. But going back to May 17, Steve, it's really an amazing story. We have these small cruisers, Washington's cruisers, which are initially fishing boats and merchant boats. And these marbleheaders really form the origins of the U.S. Navy. And it's not necessarily a the story of the early Navy is a little bit on the rough side. I mean, these guys, there's initially a mutiny. They invade Canada without authorization. But on May 17th, they did something that was absolutely extraordinary. They captured the greatest transport that was laden with powder of the war. At this time, Washington's army, many of the men only had about 10 cartridges in their cartridge boxes. They could hardly even launch an offensive against the British or even defend themselves. And all of a sudden, this ship shows up that they seize on the high seas with this small transport that goes up against the Royal Navy, and they capture the Hope. And the Hope contains 1,500 barrels of powder, enough to supply either army for several months. And it falls in the hands of Captain James Mugford, who's only about 27 years old at the time, from Marblehead, Massachusetts. And he brings in the ship on the exact day that this is a national day of prayer and thanksgiving, and prayers are answered. The ship actually grounds itself in Boston Harbor, but small boats go out to bring out the powder. And it's then that the British launch a counterattack, and Captain Mugford has to fight for his life as five boats from the Royal Navy attack his ship, which is known as the Franklin and the Lady Washington, these two ships, and they have to fend off boarders. And it's an amazing story of a ship-to-ship, hand-to-hand combat. And Mugford himself is dealing death with both hands. That's what is one of the accounts reads. He has a sword in one hand and a pistol in the other. And it's at that point he's actually killed. And one of the first captains for the Marbleheaders that's killed in action.
This is what we're going to get to next with Washington. And it was really Lincoln that set up Thanksgiving as we know it today, the fourth Thursday in November. But who called for the day of Thanksgiving and national prayer in May of 1776? Who actually had authority to promulgate that?
At this point, it was the Congress that actually has the authority to do it. And Washington also, further promulgates it. But it's Congress that actually suggests it and promulgates it. And they, it occurs again, but it's more under the auspices of General Washington. You know, in 1777, there's a great victory at Saratoga. And it's a couple months later that Washington issues a national day of Thanksgiving on December 18, 1777, to celebrate this victory at Saratoga, which changes the course of the war. I bring this out in the inspensive as well. It also brings in the crucial French alliance, the money that they provide the colonies, as well as gunpowder and other things. And then ultimately, there are men and ships that are involved. And I mean, there's the great victory, many, many years later at Yorktown.
But tell us, I want to go back. So Washington in mid-December says we're going to have a national day of Thanksgiving and prayer. And remember, here's the power of it, from the Pilgrims to what you see in 1776 to Washington to Lincoln. Later, it's always to Roosevelt when he tried to move it and then moved it back. It's always a national day of prayer, gratitude, and Thanksgiving. Why was it in those early days of the Revolution, right, that Saratoga was looked at as so important? Because in 1777, you'd already had that winter, you've already had, the Christmas attack at Trenton. You'd had so much had taken place, the siege of Boston. Why was Saratoga considered so important to Washington that he would actually have the nation have a national day of Thanksgiving to God for it?
It's a demonstration that we can beat a full British army in the field. And that's what happens at Saratoga. The British invade from Canada and move down towards Albany. In the Saratoga area, they are defeated, and massively defeated. Several thousand men go into captivity and are killed on the part of the British Army. So it's an amazing and full American victory, which then allies around the world see this as the Americans can stand up for themselves. They demonstrated it at Trenton also, nearly a year earlier. But it's here that they defeat a full British army, and it changes the course of the war. The French come on board and they're followed by the Spanish.
Why are they so, you know, and Washington understood this because he had been really gotten the first command. He went up to Cambridge, the siege of Boston. Why were the British so obsessed with cutting the colonies in two? They were obsessed with the Hudson River, the Hudson Valley, New York, as a way to cleave off New England from everybody else. In fact, Washington, being a Virginian, his first command was really outside the Virginia militia, was to go up to New England and take command of the troops. And they were trying to knit the colonies together, Virginia, Massachusetts, even at that time. Why were the British so obsessed with the Hudson Valley? Why were they so obsessed with New York City in trying to strategically cleave off New England?
This was the plan was to actually capture the Hudson River and divide the northern colonies of Massachusetts and New Hampshire from the southern colonies. The problem was it wasn't good planning and execution. The British moved their army in Canada, which didn't coordinate properly. It wasn't even technically under the command of Lord Howe, and they didn't properly coordinate that army as it was moving down. And then Howe, who should have reinforced them and converged upon the northern army that was coming down from Canada, under gentleman Johnny Burgoyne, instead decides to attack Philadelphia and not to support that army. And what happens is when the British army is divided, it gets defeated. And that's certainly the case throughout the course of the American Revolution in places like Cowpens and in other places, Kings Mountain or Trenton, where the army is divided, it gets defeated.
When Washington gives this proclamation for the first, the first major national, maybe day of Thanksgiving from really the general in chief, people have said a lot of the founders were not religious in the sense that we know religion of being, church going Christians. They were deists or they had a different philosophy about providence. What was his promulgation of this, that it was a day of prayer and fasting and Thanksgiving? How does that put to lie, you think, that concept of some of them were not particularly religious?
Well, you know, Washington recognized that the importance of this event and wanted people to be thankful for it. And also he understood the importance of prayer as well. And I mean, this is imbued within the founders. Each one has a different sort of perspective on that faith. Some are more open than others about it. Washington himself went to church all the time, but he was sort of more, kept his religion a little more closer to the vest, but he still was a fairly religious person.
The book is The Indispensables. It's the second, the first volume, not a sequel, but kind of a companion piece to your first volume, correct? About the elite guard, that Maryland regiment that was around General Washington.
That would be Washington's Immortals. Yes, there's the two stories in some ways intersect each other. It was the Indispensables that bring the army across the East River and save the Marylanders and the rest of the army, as well as across the Delaware River and the incredible counterattack, the Christmas Day counterattack or counteroffensive that changes the course of history at Trenton. And then it's followed by these 10 days that change the course of history, including the Second Battle of Trenton and Princeton.
A revolution from a combat historian's perspective is quite amazing. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we return, we're going to talk about the establishment of Thanksgiving as we kind of know it today, at least on the fourth Thursday of every November. President Lincoln, the second big proclamation he gave in 1863, next in the War Room with Patrick K. O'Donnell.
This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children.
Okay, John Yarmuth is the head of the Budget Committee for the Democrats in the House. Guess what he did today? He announced his retirement. You know why? He's one of the guys responsible for this fiasco up here of $5 trillion of additional spending over the $1 trillion to $1.5 trillion deficit we're going to run on an annual basis. Long story short, we're about to add $45 trillion of debt to the balance sheet of the United States. You know what that means for you? It means it's time for you to get out of your kind of sleep and to wake up and understand that you've got to now take action to look at every available store of value, because they're going to crush the United States dollar. The way you do that is text. You got to go to Birch Gold. AAA rated by the Better Business Bureau. They're the guys to go to start to understand precious metals as an alternative. How do you get there? It's simple. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at 484848. That is Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at the number, 484848. It's no obligation. You're not committed to anything. You get a 20-page brochure that starts it off. Then you can talk to Philip Patrick and all the great team at Birch Gold. Remember, the United States government, not you, is on a death struggle with the U.S. dollar. It's now time for you to start thinking about your financial alternatives. One of them you have to consider is precious metals, gold and silver. Go to the folks at Birch Gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at the following number, 484848. Take action. Use your agency. Hey, look, let me be frank. I can't get going in the morning until I get jacked up on some coffee. And I've got coffee now that I absolutely love. It's from Minuteman, Minuteman Coffee. This is a company you're going to love. It's a coffee you're going to love. It's bold, not bitter. It's smooth but unique, particularly if you like dark roast, medium roast. If you like these types of roasts, they roast it by the batch. It's all handcrafted. So go to Minuteman Coffee today. At checkout, type in War Room. You get 15% off your first order. They also have a subscription plan that you can manage on your own. But one thing I can tell you, try Minuteman Coffee. We're very proud to partner with these guys. They support the first responders. They support constitutional sheriffs, veterans, the military, our servicemen and women, charities all over the place, particularly to back our vets and to back first responders. So go. You want some good coffee? No, you want some great coffee. Go to Minuteman Coffee. Do it today.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the years, to join hands and thank the Creator now when thanksgiving is due.
Okay, welcome back. You're in the War Room. It is Thursday, the 25th of November, the year of our Lord 2021. We're always grateful for all of our blessings. One of those is that we get to do these shows with you, this audience. The other is that we get to do them with guys like Patrick K. O'Donnell. Patrick, after General Washington, you had this in 1776. I think he did another one in 1789. But after that, It kind of fell out, and particularly one of the things is said that Jefferson and some of the other Madison and Monroe that followed him were more a separation of church and state, didn't think it was appropriate, whatever. But Thanksgiving as a formal time of year kind of dropped out of official practice or observation until Lincoln in 1863, and he had started 1863 with the Emancipation Proclamation that came off of the great victory, or at least the stopping of the northern invasion by the Army of Northern Virginia at the Antietam on the creek there in Maryland, and then had the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1st, 1863, then the massive battle at Chancellorsville, and then the massive battle at Gettysburg with the Union victory. And knowing he was going to go up and been invited up to the cemetery, I think on November 19th, on October 3rd, he put out a proclamation to set forth a day of thanksgiving, that henceforth it would be on the fourth Thursday of November every year. Tell us about that. Tell us about, Lincoln, this whole concept that you have a great war leader like president and then General Washington, later President Washington, and you had somebody like Commander in Chief Lincoln, who was very engaged in all the major decisions, that think that after great victories, right, or in some sort of remembrance, that one has to give thanks to God. Walk us through that from a combat historian's perspective.
Oh, indeed. I mean, Lincoln's hold on power was always tenuous. It was in many ways always dictated by the battlefield. And he was, you know, constantly battling, you know, there was a situation of the issue of commanders themselves and whether or not they were competent. And it's here we are after Gettysburg, arguably the greatest battle of the Civil War, one of the greatest battles in American history, that, you know, he comes up to Gettysburg to dedicate the cemetery on my birthday, which is November 19th. And then he delivers the greatest speech in American history, arguably, the Gettysburg Address.
What you say tenuous and hold, I don't think people understand how close the Civil War could have come out on either side of it. And one of the arguments was that, and one of the reasons he wanted to give thanks over that victory, and particularly over the dedication of the cemetery on the 19th, and actually have the whole nation to really pray to God. And that's, you know, Lincoln's also someone, they question his outward Christianity, right? That he was always criticized, particularly by a lot of people, that he didn't seem to be that churched, although obviously deeply religious. With the military commanders, it was also, and you're a combat historian, so you see this at really the deck plate level, but he often had to struggle with military commanders that he never really felt some of these guys were really into the fight. They really weren't into the fight, not just for the preservation of the Union, but ultimately for the abolition of slavery and really the formation of essentially a new country. Patrick O'Donnell.
Well, indeed. And then you have people that were in some cases on a different page politically, such as George McClellan, who was his commander at Antietam, but was in many ways undermining him. And he undermines the Union cause in various ways. The Second Battle of Bull Run, he doesn't provide crucial reinforcements when they're needed. This guy really, and then he later runs against the president as the Democrat nominee in 1864. So he's constantly dealing with, commanders in some cases that are undermining him. He's also dealing with a very deeply divided country, even in the North, that is deeply divided. It's shortly after Gettysburg, or right around the same time, that there are massive riots in New York, and they have to pair off part of the army to deal with that because people don't want to be drafted into the army. And there is a political shift that is going on constantly based on the ebb and flow of battles. And the Confederacy, at least in the Army of Northern Virginia, is largely undefeated, especially when it comes up to Gettysburg. And it's, you know, they're winning one battle after another. And, Lincoln has to contend with this. And in the press, people don't know this, are not very favorable in many cases to President Lincoln.
Oh, no, the press is all over him for his handling of the war. In fact, one of the reasons the proclamation came in October, the proclamation, so Gettysburg was over July 4th, basically 2nd, 3rd, and of 1st, 2nd, 3rd of July. Then you have, Vicksburg fell on the 4th. Then he puts the proclamation out October 3rd. He goes to speak give a few comments. I think the invitation was you come and give a few remarks. He gives this amazing speech. I think it clocks in at 2 minutes and 30 seconds, which is still the most profound talk in American history, maybe second to his second inaugural address. But part of the promulgation, Patrick, was really to still unite the country. Remember, General Meade had not gone, just like McClellan failed to destroy the Army of Northern Virginia after the Battle of Antietam, so Meade failed to destroy the Army of Northern Virginia after Gettysburg, and Lincoln was very focused on not taking Richmond, but really destroying Lee and the Army of Northern Virginia that would end the rebellion, and failed to do it. This was looked at as one way to knit the country together, because politically you had the Copperheads, you had all types of dissension in the country, even at that time. In fact, it was, as you said, his general-in-chief was to run against him in 1864. And people forget, Lincoln did not even run as a Republican. He ran on a called the National Union ticket with Andrew Johnson, who was a Southern Unionist Democrat. So the pressure on him was enormous, and he used the proclamation and want the country to come together to give thanks to God, right? To give and to basically make that happen on an ongoing basis. Patrick O'Donnell, thoughts?
Absolutely, and this is really an extraordinary time where there is everything is the ebb and flow of battle can literally determine the next election. And the next election in 1864, which is coming up, Washington itself is threatened in the summer by Jubal Early. It's nearly burned to the ground. There are ebb and flows that take place constantly where the Army of Northern Virginia is winning battles. The North is exhausted politically in many ways. There is incredible war weariness that is manifested in these riots and everything else. And it's on such a knife's edge. And McClellan's his platform in 1864 is exactly the polar opposite in many ways of President Lincoln. It's an appeasement strategy. It's potentially even allowing slavery to exist. I mean, if you look at the Democrat platform in 1864, that's fascinating. These are all factors that are taking place that, the ebb and flow of battle means everything to the political will, which is, it's being exhausted in the North.
Do you talk about that in the Civil War? Here, we have Roger Kimball on the show saying, hey, we're at 1857. You've probably done more than anybody in your generation to study small unit combat at the deck plate levels among Americans of all walks of life that are called to serve their country. Given where you've seen from, and you were an embed in Iraq with a Marine rifle platoon, given your knowledge of history, of the revolution, of Korea, of World War II, World War I, you did the great book we had here on our Veterans Day, The Tomb of the Unknown. Where do you think the country stands today? What's your sense, given all the struggles we've been through? Do we understand that history? Do we collectively, you think, still have understand the great forces and the great valor that's been shown to get us here?
I think we're in a very, arguably, some of the most dangerous times in American history, Steve. There are massive threats worldwide. There's structural issues with the economy. I mean, if we go back to the American Revolution, for instance, one of my favorite scenes in that book, in The Indispensables, is when the British land in Long Island and they see the farms of the colonists. And they see that this is the most wealthy, it has the greatest standard of living at the time in 1776, Steve, and some of the most educated people at the time as well. The American engine of growth has always been our greatest asset. I think that, that things are being chipped away in a very dangerous way. The way that we've outsourced our core industry, the fact that we have massive threats around the world. And then there's also this incredible amount of division. However, I would say that the green shoots are what happened in Virginia, where people are, I think that there is the potential for a counter revolution in many ways to what's going on. But that'll only be manifested through political victories, if you will, if that'll continue, I believe.
Did you get a sense? We got about a minute in this segment. We'll hold you over through the next. But do you get a sense, particularly someone that writes real American history backed up by documents? I mean, you did thousands of interviews with World War II and Greatest Generation in Korea. You're sourcing on Washington's Immortals and the Indispensables is second to none. Do you get a sense that that history is not the history that academia or even the modern book publishing companies want to come forward anymore?
You know what I thought, what I found, I would thank the War Room Posse too for their support. The people want the truth, Steve. They don't want a biased history that is through the lens of what we see now, of sort of the wokeness, if you will, whatever, however you want it. It's a bias that is being kind of overlaid on history, and it's changing it. And I think people sense that. Look, I don't get political. I'm very neutral on things. My books are just the facts. I just present the original source documents and the people and what they say. And what we have here, I think, is an amazing story. America's got an amazing story. It's an exceptional nation.
Hang on for 1 second. We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be back on our Thanksgiving special with Patrick K. O'Donnell next. Thanksgiving
Day for the rest of my life. I'm thanking the Lord He made you. Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life. I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
I was recently introduced to one of the coolest gun products that I've seen in a long time and wanted to share it with you immediately. It's called the iTarget Pro, and it allows you to dry fire practice with your actual firearm in the comfort, safety, and privacy of your own home. In other words, without old Joe looking over your shoulder. With the cost of ammo through the roof, this gives law-abiding gun owners a better way to train regularly. No more inconvenient trips to the range or expensive practice ammunition. Let me repeat that. No more inconvenient trips to the range or expensive practice ammunition. Just download the iTarget's proprietary app. Load the laser bullet into your firearm and start your training experience. Dry fire training will help develop muscle memory, sharpen target reaction speed, sight alignment, trigger function, and more. iTarget Pro comes in all the major calibers, including for your AR, so you can stay sharp with almost any firearm. Go to iTargetPro.com right now and save 10% plus. Get the free shipping with the offer code Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. That is the offer code Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. This is the smartest way for you to practice, and it pays for itself in 1 day. Let me repeat that. This is the smartest way for you to practice, and it pays for itself in just 1 day. That's the letter iTargetPro, iTargetPro.com, iTargetPro.com, offer code Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. Once again, iTargetPro.com. Offer code Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N. Use your agency. Take action, action, action. Do it today.
Big tech monitors us, censors us, deplatforms us. Conservatives have been helpless to do anything about it until now. Join Getter, the social media platform that supports free speech and opposes cancel culture. On Getter, you can express your political beliefs without fear of Silicon Valley liberals coming after you. Getter is led by former Trump advisor and War Room co-host Jason Miller, who saw what big tech did to President Trump and decided to fight back. Getter is the fastest growing social media platform in history, with 2 million users, including prominent conservatives like Mike Pompeo, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Steve Bannon. Join Getter. It's in the App Store, the Google Play Store, and at Getter.com. Longer posts, longer videos, sharper and clearer pictures. And unlike the Silicon Valley oligarchs, Getter will never sell your data. Send a message today. Join Getter. It's time to cancel culture.
I tell you, the engagement over Getter is just absolutely incredible. It's been tremendous for the show. Tremendous. I never had a Twitter account. I got a Getter account. It's just incredible. I want everybody to go over there. Also, MyPillow.com, promo code War Room. You've got Black Friday coming up tomorrow. Make sure you get ahead of it. They don't have logistics problems. You order it, you get it. Very simple. Mike Lindell commits to that. You've got pillow sheets, towels, slippers, moccasins, blankets. You've got the pillows for the kids, biblical pillows. You also got the historical pillows. You have it all. MyPillow.com, promo code War Room. Check out the sales. Absolutely incredible. Go there today. Patrick K. O'Donnell. Patrick, what, given that you've been embedded overseas with the Marine Rifle Platoon, that you've interviewed thousands of Greatest Generation combat veterans, Vietnam veterans, Korean War veterans, you've from Chosin Reservoir to the Battle of Fallujah, you've chronicled some of the toughest fights Americans ever had. On this Thanksgiving, when you sit down today, later in the day, what are you thankful for? What are you most grateful for?
I'm just grateful to be alive. I'm also grateful to be an American and, you know, live in this country where we have, you know, still have freedom and liberty. And, you know, it's about an idea still. And the revolutionary generation, the indispensables, they created the greatest idea in the world. And that is, you know, our version of liberty and freedom, which changed the world. And it's as important then as it is now. And I think that, you know, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for, you know, freedom isn't free. That's the other thing that I, you know, underscored so many times after being there. It's hard work. And it can be taken away very easily, because with a shift of economic power is often a shift in hard power. And we have adversaries now that are very dangerous. And I think those are the lessons of history. And it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, Americans can change the course of history. It's something that all the books that I've written have said, that it's one of the central themes in all of them, how a small group of people, you know, through their agency can change the course of events, and events that may not, you know, initially don't look like they're going in the right direction, but they can be bent or shaped.
Patrick, how do people get to your writings? What's the author's page? I want to make sure they see over this holiday, sure, all of your writings. How do they get there?
I'm at, my website's patrickkodonnell.com. I'm on Twitter at combat historian and at getter at combat historian as well. Books on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and pretty much any independent bookstore out there.
Your writings are amazing. And we thank you once again for joining us on a major holiday to share with us what America's gone through.
Happy Thanksgiving, Steve.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and happy Thanksgiving to our entire audience. We've all got so much to be grateful for. I think to summarize what all of our speakers have said today, all of our guests, is that we should be thankful we're at this day and time right here, fighting for our country, right? Fighting for our nation. As Patrick said, a small group of people can change the course of American history. He's done that from historians. He's documented that from a historian's point of view. Okay, immediately after the show over on Frank TV, you're going to have Mike Lindell is going to go through his entire, start his 96-hour, I think, thanks-a-thon. So make sure you go there and check it out. I want to thank Real America's Voice, John Frederick's Radio Network, everybody. I want to thank everybody out there for really being part of this special. And thank you. We're going to leave you now with Johnny Cash's Thanksgiving song.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the years, to join hands and thank the Creator now when Thanksgiving is due. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind and the rain, the color of blue in your sweet eyes, the sight of a highball and train, the moonrise over a prairie, and oh, love that you've made new. this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. When the time comes to be going, it won't be in sorrow and tears. I'll kiss you goodbye and I'll go on the way, grateful for all of the years. I'm thankful for all that you gave me, for teaching me what love can do. Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.